Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme will be the United Nations, and I'm going to read mostly, in fact, I think entirely, from a compilation on the subject that was published in the September 2008 issue of Share International magazine. And before the compilation began, was published an article taken from the United Nations Department of Public Information website, which I'll read out now. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the United Nations on 10th December 1948. It was one of the first major achievements of the United Nations, and it continues to have an enormous effect on people's lives around the world. Drawn up shortly after the end of the Second World War, the Declaration represents a common statement of goals and aspirations for a peaceful and just world. Now translated into 200 languages, it remains one of the best known and most often cited human rights documents in the world. The drafting process took 2 years to complete, with a committee composed of 8 people. Despite some conflicting views, they agreed to include in the document the principles of non-discrimination, civil and political rights, and social and economic rights, and agreed that the declaration had to be universal. Eleanor Roosevelt, who chaired the Human Rights Commission in its first years, asked, "Where, after all, do universal human rights begin?" "In small places, close to home, so close and so small that they cannot be seen on any maps of the world. Yet they are the world of the individual person, the neighbourhood he or she lives in, the school or college they attend, the factory, farm or office where they work. Such are the places where every man, woman and child seeks equal justice, equal opportunity, equal dignity without discrimination. Unless these rights have meaning there, they have little meaning anywhere. Without concerned citizen action to uphold them close to home, we shall look in vain for progress in the larger world." In December 1948, the 58 member states of the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the Assembly proclaimed it as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, towards which individuals and societies should strive by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance. Although the Declaration is not a legally binding document, it has inspired more than 60 human rights instruments, which together constitute an international standard of human rights. The Declaration recognises that the inherent dignity of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice and peace in the world, and is linked to the recognition of fundamental rights towards which every human being aspires, namely the right to life, liberty and security of person, the right to an adequate standard of living, the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution, the right to own property, the right to freedom of opinion and expression, the right to education, freedom of thought, conscience and religion, and the right to freedom from torture and degrading treatment, among others. These are inherent rights to be enjoyed by all human beings of the global village, men, women and children, as well as by any group of society, disadvantaged or not. Mary Robinson, who became the second United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights in September 1997, believes that human rights belong to people. Human rights are about people on the ground and their rights. And according to the United Nations Department of Public Information, the future of human rights lies in our hands. We must all act when human rights are violated. States, as well as the individual, must take responsibility for the realisation and effective protection of human rights. And one article that in Share International we're most familiar with, because it echoes Maitreya's concerns, is Article 25 in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it reads as follows. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and of his family, including food, clothing, housing and medical care and necessary social services, and the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, widowhood, old age or other lack of livelihood in circumstances beyond his control. So as you might know from listening to some of our programs or maybe reading one of the books or the magazine, Maitreya's main priorities, at least initially, are adequate food for all people, adequate housing for all, and adequate healthcare and education for everyone, followed very closely by caring for the environment. Anyway, moving on to some of the quotes that were featured in this compilation on the United Nations. And I'll start from with a brief one from Maitreya, or through a close associate of Maitreya, that was published, I think, in the book Maitreya's Teachings, The Laws of Life. The United Nations will become the most powerful political force in the world. It will be the agency through which all major international problems will be resolved. And now here we have an excerpt from one of the master's articles, and this has the title Human Rights. The United Nations organization has formulated a code of human rights which, if implemented, would go far to resolve the existing social tensions and to provide the basis for a just and stable society. So far, this Universal Declaration of Human Rights remains but a dream for millions of dispossessed and disenfranchised people in every country in the world. The aim must be to establish with all possible speed these basic rights in all nations. With the acceptance of the principle of sharing, this becomes possible. No longer need men fight for the right to work, to feed their families, for a measure of control over their destinies. At a stroke, the acceptance of sharing will heal the divisions, end the confrontations, and cure the malady of the present situation, leading men out of the morass in which they have found it. Make sharing then the goal of your endeavour. Show that the world now needs, more than ever in its history, the establishment of this just and basic principle, through the acceptance of which alone man will find and demonstrate his divinity. And here's a short quote from Benjamin Krem from the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3. The United Nations is slowly coming into its own as the maintainer of peace in the world. At present, it is reluctant to accept the role of world policeman, and governments everywhere balk at the cost involved. But until world peace is assured through sharing and the implementation of justice, such a responsibility must be accepted. Its future role is to become not a world government, but the world parliament, where problems can be discussed and resolved peacefully. And here's another quote through Maitreya's associate, a quote from Maitreya. The purpose, goal and aim of the United Nations is and must be to serve the cause of humanity and not to become a political force controlled by the strong. Neither America nor the Soviet Union can ever rule the entire world. It is becoming a powerful institution that will be able to watch over the welfare of the world. And another quote from the master, this is from the article, The Mantle of Power. Gradually, slowly, step by hesitant step, the United Nations is coming into its own, donning bravely the responsible mantle of power. It represents the rallying point for the highest aspirations of men for justice and peace, and must be prepared to act to ensure their preservation. Nothing less will guarantee a future free from the threat of fratricidal war. War today must be made illegal, and the instigators answerable to law. The nations must be prepared to enforce the law and to accept the price of action. Until true and lasting peace is assured, such policing of the world remains the sole recourse. This is a rather lengthy quote from Benjamin Creme, and it comes from his book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. We are about to witness profound changes in all our institutions and structures, political and economic, religious and social, scientific, educational and cultural. These changes will take place as humanity grasps, stage by stage, its essential oneness and adopts the measures necessary to implement that oneness. When we have accepted the principle of sharing, which principle will be forced on the governments by world public opinion, each country will be asked to make over in trust for the world that which it has in excess of its needs. Every country will be invited to make an inventory of its assets and needs. Fed into computers, these statistics will provide a United Nations agency set up for the purpose, with the information which to a rational redistribution of the world's resources can take place. In this way, a better balance between the developed and underdeveloped world can be achieved. It has been estimated that the redistribution program will take 2 to 3 years to implement. The plans and blueprints for the scheme, drawn up by high initiates, economists, financiers, and industrialists of great achievement, have long been in existence, awaiting only the demand of humanity for their implementation. A sophisticated form of barter will replace the present economic systems. The key to a more harmonious political climate is the acceptance of the principle of sharing. Both the democratic and the communistic systems are in process of transition. And as they evolve, they will become less mutually exclusive than they now appear to be. Greater world harmony will result. The United Nations Assembly will come into its own as the international legislative body. The work of the Assembly is inhibited today by the lack of support given it by the major powers, in particular the USA and Russia, and by the existence of the Security Council with its power of veto. The Security Council has outlived its usefulness and now must make way for the more broadly based voice of the Assembly to be heard. The United Nations is the blueprint for a future world government of federated independent states. It is not part of the divine plan that the nations should live under one political system. Democracy and communism are each the expression, more or less distorted, of a divine idea. In their eventual perfect expression, each will give to the world a model of social organisation suited to different peoples in different circumstances. Unity and diversity may be said to be the keynote of future political groupings. And another quote from Benjamin Krem's master, this from his article, The Emergence of Great Servers. Shortly, from the blueprint of the future now descending, will precipitate the forms of the new civilization. Each nation has a part to play, bringing to the structure of the whole its own particular voice. In this, the United Nations will play a vital role, coordinating the plans for reconstruction and redistribution. Even now, despite the limitations imposed on it by the major powers, the contribution to world peace made by the United Nations is great. Its agencies educate and bring succour to millions in many lands. As a forum for world debate, its position is unique and priceless. Sad would be the day and great would be the loss to humanity, were the nations to lose faith in this institution, central as it is to the working out of the divine plan. And I see we have time to read some more quotes, sorry, from the same compilation. And I might actually read some from Maitreya. The first one is from message number 15. The way to God is the way of brotherhood, of justice and love. There is no other way. All is contained therein. Many will find this path bitter and hard, but many more by far will enter upon this path with joy and gladness at the lightness of their burden, casting away the old, the outworn and the useless, the trivia of the past, and entering into shared brotherhood and joyous communion with all that is. That vast and growing company shall inherit their selfhood. And a brief quote from Maitreya's message number 17. Mankind will be faced by me with two lines of action. On their decision rests the future of the world. I will show them that the only possible choice is through sharing and mutual interdependence. And we do have some more short quotes from Maitreya, starting with, let me just get to the right place. Here we go. That message number 12, just one, a small excerpt from that message. I shall show you that the way for man is the way of brotherhood, close cooperation and mutual trust and service. This is the only way. All else has failed. My friends, unless man can do this, man on this earth will cease to be. I threaten not, but simply state the truth. There is but little time left to restore the balance of nature and the world. Make it your primary task to release to all men the wherewithal to exist in human dignity as sons of God, brothers all. Make over in trust for all men the produce of the world to the nations of the world. Do this today as free men and reap the glory tomorrow as true sons of God. And one more short quote from Maitreya from message number 135. Forming themselves into groups, men of goodwill will brandish aloft their hopes and dreams of justice and peace. This clamour will light the torch of truth among the nations, and at its centre shall I be found. Well, I hope you enjoyed those excerpts from the compilation on the United Nations. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. You're also most welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.